Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got a lengthy and interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Dovey. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Finally fishing the Lund of your dreams from Hayward Power Sports. Built by fishermen, for fishermen. Catch your limit in a 2019 Lund 1775 Adventure Sport for just $350 a month. This brand new model comes fully loaded with a 90 horse Mercury 4-stroke, fish locator, trolling motor, travel cover, and more. Enjoy boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. Plus, it's transferable, adding to excellent resale value. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on an $18,000 Lumacraft boat powered by a 50-horse Mercury outboard sponsored by John's Motorsports of Hayward. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highways 27 and B in Hayward, open daily from 9:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and helping out co-host again is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
And, you know, we're getting in as we're going here. The month of May has fast disappeared on us. It won't be long here before the muskie opener. Another, what, week or so? It's the 25th.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to even sleep, John.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I enjoy muskie fishing, too. Unfortunately, you know what? I seem to get more guiding jobs for walleyes and everything else anymore nowadays than muskies.
Yeah, and, you know, we see a little bit of that, you know, swinging more musky anglers, of course, in the fall. But, you know, the month of May and leading into the beginning part of June is pretty good musky fishing, actually.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, I actually caught the largest release in the state of Wisconsin one time, 3 days into the fishing season. I had a 50-incher caught, you know, right away. So their fish are available to bite.
Yeah, so they're going to be, you know, getting the feed bag on, and it's, you know, we always look forward to it.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about musky stuff later on. Let's right now, let's I'd say as far as what's going on as far as the walleye action, you know, opening day, yeah, there was a lot of fish caught, a lot of smaller fish, but it seemed like it was hot or cold. Some guys were doing extremely well, some guys didn't. It all depended on where you were at. You had to be spot specific right on an area.
Absolutely, and I mean, we were still dealing with, you know, shallow water fish. You know, we found a lot of slot fish, which, you know, we sent back, you know, to the lake, and nothing wrong with that. But yeah, definitely a touchy opener. As the month of May has kind of progressed, you know, we've seen some better bites as well as with water temps, you know, slightly warming up a little bit.
They were warming real slow. I mean, opening weekend, I saw, you know, into that first week, I saw water temperatures up in the mid to high 50s on some lakes, but yet the panfish weren't shallow. But I suspect by the time this airs, they're going to be right up in there.
Absolutely, John. Yep.
You know, as we're talking here, fishing has no boundaries will be going on, and, you know, some of the other stuff is going on. A lot of interesting things will be going on over there. You know, the end of the month, the last, I guess I'd say the last week or two of May and first 2 weeks of June, to me, are some of the favorite times to be out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, walleye bite's still good. The smallie fishing actually even heats up even heavier because it seems like the drop of the hat, Memorial Weekend, those fish are starting to make their beds. And, you know, that there's something just interesting that happens, and you can catch these fish on top water. They're still very shallow. A lot of neat things. Panfish, obviously, are going to start revving up, and then we're looking forward to that musky opener.
And you mentioned smallmouth, too. Make sure people are aware that it is catch and release only until you get into June, well into June.
Yes, we are in that northern region, so it is catch and release only. And, you know, for me as an angler, and it's just, you know, my personal preference, as soon as they do go on beds, I do not mess with them. But it is available for anglers to target fish on beds if they'd like to.
And, you know, there have been some guys got busted this year for illegally fishing smallmouth. I mean, actually not keeping them, but taking them out of the water.
Yes, harvesting of the fish, yeah. So a very, it's an unfortunate time, you know, thing, and we have the privilege to be able to fish and target these fish that have yet to spawn. So it's very critical that, you know, we just deal with safe handling of these fish. You know, let's get them to that point of where they can spawn, do their thing, and create better fisheries for us, you know, in the future.
Talk about muskies real quick here. Muskie season will be opening up. What do you recommend? I mean, my personal recommendation is that watch what water you're on, because some water is a lot more active. Some of the river systems, the small river lakes, the smaller dark lakes, they're always going to be better, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of the same similar game in the fall, is, you know, with like kind of turnover and picking and choosing your battles. And it's, it can be based on water temperature, definitely. It can also be, like you mentioned, you know, riverways or lakes that have rivers flowing into them, or bodies of water that might warm a little bit quicker. These are all roles that definitely play a big play in picking and choosing those battles. I'll probably be fishing a mostly glide bait starting out on around opener myself.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of what I'm looking at. Minnow baits are probably my favorite. That biggest fish that I caught right into the season was caught on one of the big Clearwater lakes, believe it or not. But it was an extremely warm spring, but it was caught on a 9-inch grandma.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome.
Anyway, we're you know, you guys were down here at the shop. You guys got just about anything anybody would need as far as gearing up for the open water fishing season and anything else they want to do in the summer.
Oh, absolutely. Full lineup of the, you know, all the latest and greatest hummingbird, some new plastics that are available, plenty of rods, plenty of reels. You know, if we don't have it, you probably don't need it.
You got stuff for the boat, too, and yep, a bunch of other stuff. And, you know, a lot of different things in here. I like to call this Hayward Superstore for the outdoors.
Yeah, it's definitely gotten to that point. And we're lucky to have it in our area to be able to, you know, accommodate just about every kind of angler out there.
You know, we're going to have to take a break right now, and I've got an interesting interview coming up. It'll be a two-part interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports features Tracker, America's number one selling aluminum fishing boats. No fishing trip is too much for a 2019 Tracker Targa with a 150-horse Mercury 4-stroke, Lowrance Hook 7-color fish finder, and Minn Kota Power Drive trolling motor. All for just $33,845 or as little as $436 a month. Plus, you get the Tracker Promise, the best factory warranty in the business, and Tracker's no-hassle, no-haggle value pricing coast-to-coast. See Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Mayrie, and helping co-host is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, you know, I fish with Duffy some, and Duffy is a pretty good fisherman. He's not a real high-tech fisherman, but he's a pretty effective fisherman.
Hey, and there's nothing wrong with the KISS theory.
You bet. Let's hear what he had to say. I had an interesting talk with him on how he got started fishing and what, you know, what his ideas are. So let's hear that, and we'll come back with the second part of it and a wrap-up on the show. Today we're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy. And Tim, this will be a little bit different interview here. I'm going to talk to you. You know, how long have you been guiding out there, and how did you get started?
Oh, I started guiding when I was 26 years old, but ever since I was a kid, I always fished on the lakes. You know, my dad had a cabin on Grindstone, so we spent our summers out there, and, you know, that's all I ever wanted to do was fish.
Yeah, you know. You know, and you come from a family that's got dentists and lawyers and politicians, and here you are, the fishing guide.
Yeah, I think, you know, my dad always, he liked to fish, but maybe not quite as much as me, but he still goes to Alaska and fishes. My brother Kevin likes to fish, and, you know, but they're busy, so they don't do it like I do, but they enjoy fishing, and my brother Kevin's the one that goes to Alaska with us, and he's a big part of that whole operation of, you know, getting there and having a good fishing trip. So, yeah, I think my mother, she likes to fish too. I mean, she goes to Alaska, but just none of them, you know, have the time to do it like I do, and that was always my passion.
Well, you know, you said you started fishing out on Grindstone Lake, and, you know, what is different today out there on some of these lakes compared to when you started?
Well, I'll tell you this, the fishing on Grindstone at the time was, I remember my dad getting walleyes given to him by people that were huge, you know, huge walleyes, 9-10 pound walleyes, but there wasn't many of those. Matter of fact, I never caught a walleye on that lake until I was, I think, 18 or 19 years old, and it was after they finally stocked the lake for one of the first times, and you know, that's a great lake for reproduction, but you got to jump start it. The big fish for us growing up was smallmouth bass, and the amazing thing was that how people would keep the walleyes. Everybody kept those smallmouth. It was five apiece, and they ate them. They ate every one of those smallmouth bass they caught. And I don't think the fishery was quite what it is now. It's probably far from it because, you know, people were eating those things like your walleyes. But now, I mean, pretty much people catch and release. And I remember the guy that used to take me fishing. They were always talking about Mr. Five was catching a 5-pound smallmouth bass. Well, the first one I ever caught was on Lake Hayward, but I've caught many of them after that on Grindstone Lake. Where years ago it was almost like a world record muskie or something. There wasn't many of them because they didn't get a chance to get that big.
You think there was as many smallmouth that would be harvested though compared to the walleyes, percentage wise?
Well, there wasn't as many people up here. You know, when I was a kid, you didn't see many boats on the lake. They didn't have the landings. You didn't have the property people on the lake, so I don't think they killed as many as, you know, as they do now for walleye fishing, but how many is too many? Because, you know, there was no we fished them when they were on the beds, so the best time of the year was, you know, pre-spawn, spawn, and that's when the guys were catching those fish up in the shallowest water when they were the easiest. So if you're going in for five a day or something like that, and you're taking those smallies out of that kind of water, it's like, you know, pretty easy, and you take a lot of them, and they don't have a chance to even reproduce.
Well, you had a lot more resorts on some of those lakes than we did today, too.
You did. You had, I think there was like Stumps Resort, and there was a couple over there on the northwest side, Brassers Resort, and you had the old Williams Resort. And actually, I talked to Frank Moore, and he said even with the everything they caught, they kept. So even your muskies, I mean, guys would come in he would even talk about shipping muskies back to other people in the cities to have a muskie feed. Or so, you know, I can't even remember you talking to me about, you know, that mindset of you don't have to keep something to, you know, prove how good of a fisherman you are. And it was really hard because you're set in one way and you have to change that mindset. And I can go out nowadays, I fish and I catch everything I catch. I like, I don't care how big it is or whatever. I throw them back because first of all, I don't have to clean them. And second of all, it's just like a picture is just as good as, you know, getting a bunch of fish and to show somebody on a stringer and then they're dead. So, yeah, things have changed a lot. I think we have more pressure now, but then you have more things with catch and release, where back then you didn't have as many people, but everybody killed everything. So definitely the smallmouth fisheries seem to be good on all these lakes, unbelievably good compared to what they were back, you know, back then.
Well, yeah, in the species of fish that catch and release, whether it's a lot of people don't want to keep the pike because they think there's too many Y bones, or you don't keep the smallmouth, or you don't keep muskies anymore, catch and release. But you look at fish like panfish and walleyes, they seem to need stocking and to help because a lot of times it doesn't take a lot of harvest.
Well, and if you talk to anybody about stocking bluegills years ago, they'd laugh at you and go, what are you talking about? We'll never have to stock bluegills or crappies or fish like that. And what happened was is when the bag limits dropped on, let's say, it was 5 walleyes a day. I don't know if there's a size limit on them or not back then. It changed throughout the years. But when we first started to get this walleye thing, they had the slots and regulations on the fish, and it went from 5 to 1 to 2, whatever. Well, people started targeting other species. Usually it was the crappies and the bluegills, and pretty soon, Nelson Lake was a perfect example of that. That lake was one of the best fisheries you could ever find. You could troll, you could cast, you could jig. You could go out in the evenings and cast a Rapala any night of the summer and get your limit of walleyes casting Rapalas. The flows used to be like that also. And something happened where all of a sudden, I mean, you couldn't do that no more. And matter of fact, Nelson, it took a couple of years for me to realize that something was going on because it could have been something in the water, something with the, you know, whatever. But after a while, I'm going, they're not here. And then, you know, then they did a number of things like, well, let's do a study for 2 years and figure this out and da-da-da. I'm going, oh, my gosh. By the time they realized what was going on, it was too late. And on that body of water, there's a lot of resorts, a lot of campers and stuff. And so when the walleyes dropped, then they went after the bluegills and the crappies. And it's amazing that all of a sudden those things got dwindled down, and pretty soon it was like it was a very hard lake to catch anything on. And now it's coming back, but they put some regulations out there. I can remember showing you pictures of, you know, 50 fish a day, and you go out to people and 150 bluegills and crappies. That's an unbelievable amount of fish. Who needs that many? And here, I had to clean them, but I mean, if the regulations are there, and that's the bag limit, and somebody hired you and they go, I want my limit, it's pretty hard to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, now guys can, but that 50 thing was unbelievable. It was just crazy.
Well, you know, it was a little harder back then to learn how to find these fish and to learn the lakes and learn stuff than it is today. And, I mean, how did you get started? How did you learn what you needed out there?
Time on the water. And then I remember, like I said, the guy that used to take me fishing when I was a kid, I think they had the little green boxes, you know, but basically he had a little sawed-off musky pole with a different colored line and a weight. And he used his landmarks, and they'd drive out to drop the weight down and count up and see how many feet deep it was. But yeah, it was way, way, way different than now. I never had a GPS for how long. Remember that? You got me to get a handheld GPS because I would find the spots. But, man, I mean, the time and going back to those spots using your landmarks was back and forth, look at the depth finder to find the hump, where nowadays you can just drive right to it and you're on the spot. So it was, I found it hard to kind of go with the newer technology as it was coming along. I'm dyslexic, so it was kind of hard for me. I didn't want to start something new, but you forced me to push me to get the new stuff, and it was probably like pulling teeth. But eventually, slowly, I remember like getting the Helix, and then you said you should get that chip. Well, I got to wait a little bit, but finally I got that chip. I'm going, holy crap! That in itself is almost more help than the unit, because it shows everything that you're looking for, and you're marking spots and backtracking on places that you had went over before and getting back on the fish. It was unbelievable. And you would probably have been telling me that for a couple of years, and finally, you know, I got the stuff. And but as fast as you get it, then it's changing again and onto something else. But at least it's a heck of a lot better, that technology, for what I know in my mind. is it puts me someplace way better.
Well, it's interesting. We do need to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, I'll finish up that interview with Tim, and then we'll do a wrap-up on the show.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine. They're located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is the local Evan Rude Johnson authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore stations. Need a boat or pontoon for a few days? Call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with mechanics on duty Monday through Saturday.
Call Earl's Marine today at 634-4783.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host, helping out co-host today is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. And Eric, let's jump right back into that second part of that interview with Tim, and then we'll come back.
Well, you know, it's a lot easier, too, for people that want to get into sport of fishing now, and for the young ones out there that want to get into it, with the technology and the equipment and the gear we've got, and just the information that's out there, like in places on the internet, like YouTube. I mean, there's just so much easier for them to do it, and you know, you can be more effective as an angler out there. You need to start thinking more about what you do out there.
But I remember this. I'm not very computer oriented, so I remember I couldn't turn on a computer until probably 10 years ago. I self-taught myself. But the lingo, the words that they use for stuff on there, I don't know what that means. So here, I see so many people that get these new depth finders and stuff, the fanciest thing that there is. If you're not a fisherman, there's a lingo on there, you know, what that lingo means. And if you don't know what it is, it's not like turning on a computer. You got to have an idea what, you know, the sensors and the sonar and all that stuff to find out what you want to do to set it up the way you want to do it. And I see more and more people get the electronics, but they don't understand the lingo of what they're looking at, like when they look on a computer, just like when I looked at a computer and self-taught myself. So you can have the best stuff, but you got to know how to use it, understand what the lingo is, and sometimes it's easier for some more than others, but some people just don't get it. They got the stuff in their boat, but they don't know how to use it.
The younger generation of people understand that stuff a lot better than people that are our age do, but you know, the fact is that with the equipment we've got and the knowledge and the information out there, it is a lot shorter learning curve to learn how to find fish and be more effective.
The young kids understand everything because they were taught that. You know, they really do. So, but the older ones are the ones that have the money to buy the stuff. So here, most of them have their kids out there, and they got to find somebody else that can explain it to them. But yeah, the older ones have the money to buy the stuff. They're the ones that need to learn how to understand how to use it, because the young kids, I mean, some of them do, but I mean, that's a lot of money for a lot of this stuff, to, you know, the boats and all that, to get it. So, yeah, the people that I see having all the fancy stuff, a lot of them don't quite understand it, or they're smart enough to, like, to have talk to me or to you or whatever and say, can you get John to come and look at me and show me how to do this? And you've done that before. Mm-hmm. So it almost takes hands-on to show somebody, because I've called you in the boat and said, John, what do I need to do? And you go, okay, push that button, go over there, kick that twice, da 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 da. But most guys like that you went out with, they're not going to understand that. So you almost have to be with them a couple times and show them how to do it.
Well, what kind of tips could you give people out there that are getting into fishing? First of all, if they want to go after walleyes out there, how should they go about finding fish on the lake? I mean, my tip would be to start with one area of the lake. Don't try to take the whole lake in. But what kind of tips can you give them to try to learn something?
Well, somebody can just get in a boat and go out there, and, you might get lucky, but you're probably not going to be. The fish change from spring to summer to late summer to fall, and the fish will go to different places. Almost all of them will. In the springtime, I guess the thing I would say would be find the warmest water. Talk to the DNR, ask where the fish spawn at. They're usually going to go to the shallow, rocky spots. Usually it's the northeastern sides of a lake will warm up faster than the other side of the lake. And that's definitely true, because when we do that casting thing where the water is 67, 68 degrees, when the warmest side peters out, we go over to the other side, and that's just getting warmed up to where the other, on a big lake like Grindstone or something. So, but ask some questions. I mean, the DNR, there's areas, I guess, any place you got a creek, like in the springtime, creek, warm water, a temperature gauge, and it could be something really simple, you just stick in the water, but that's huge, instead of wasting your time going to all these other places, get to where the warmest water is. There's going to be fish there, and not just all kinds. I remember on Nelson, there'd be walleyes, crappies, bluegills, everything was up in those areas, and big fish eating on those. The flow is the same way. You'll have muskies in there feeding on the bluegills and the crappies. The whole food chain follows, but they're going to the warm water. Simple things like that. I think probably the toughest time of year would be that midsummer August. They call it the dog days. Yeah. I mean, that can get very tough. The fall's the opposite of the spring. A lot of the warm water is down deep. The fish go deeper. That's a whole different story, because there's some things you should know about fishing in the deep water. But in the beginning of the spring, you got a couple of months here where you can catch fish that are staying in those shallow warm water areas, and they'll be there for a while until it gets too hot, which is usually July or something like that.
It's like it's been said before, 90% of the lake doesn't have the fish, 10% of the lake does. Interesting information, Tim. You want to give out your guide information, so if you're looking for a guide?
Sure, they can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
Thank you.
Well, it's interesting, and I've been trying to do a bunch of that now, talking to different guides on how they get started guiding and going back years and doing stuff, and it's interesting listening to some of those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's got kind of their own story of how they might have pursued or fell into the career or business of it.
It's more of a lifestyle, I think, than it is a career, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And everyone, though, is got their own way of how it came about.
Let's talk about a couple other things, some news things that I thought was kind of interesting. We were talking a few years ago, it seems like not that long ago, we were talking about water levels being low in the Great Lakes. Now they're predicting record high levels. I mean, we've had that much water, it seems like.
It's crazy, but I wouldn't put it past it with the amount of rain and snow that we've had this, leading into the spring and summer. So
yeah, and the other thing that was interesting I saw the other day online is that they found a silver carp, believe it or not, in the lower St. Croix River. I mean, that's getting a little too close for comfort for me.
Yeah, it's certain it would be bound to happen at some point, but I know there's been a lot of studies and a lot of forefront on trying to, keep these fish at bay somewhat.
I brought a bunch of new elk in this year, too. They brought in 48 new elk from Kentucky that will be released out in the Flambeau Forest. Interesting, our elk herd seems to be doing pretty well up here, although it's not expanding that much, but some of these animals live a long time. They just actually, one of the very first elk that they transplanted, out of the 25, actually just died here this last month in April. 24, 25-year-old cow. I mean, she made it that long.
That is something else.
Didn't get eaten by a predator or something. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. So let's hope that takes off from there. And talking about stuff, and the Natural Resource Board has approved the waterfowl seasons for this year. I'll talk about that on one of the upcoming shows. A lot of interesting things there. Right now we're about out of time for this week's show. I want to remind folks that if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website at wnoradio.net. From there you can link through to our podcast site and listen to it. Also, it's on Spotify. You can get it on your phone app and Spotify. Anyway, we're out of time for this week. I want to thank you for coming on here, Eric.
Thank you, John.
And folks, we'll be back again next week with another interesting show.
Me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.